Psalm 23. It's a blessing, isn't it? It's all about them kids. Psalm 23. We're going to spend the next few weeks in the book of Psalms, particularly in this psalm. You know, with all this talk of the fair, I can remember when I was a kid, I would go to the fair, and when we were little, the fair we went to was the Franklinton Fair in Franklinton, Louisiana. And I remember going to that fair, and I'd go with my mom and my dad, and I remember I was real little, like this age little, and I would go off, and I wouldn't pay attention to where I was going, and I'd wander off, and I'd look around, I couldn't find my mother. I don't know why I didn't care about my dad. My mom was the one I was concerned with. Well, I was like, I couldn't find my mom, and I'd be scared, and I'd be freaking out, and I'd be on the edge of tears, looking for my mother. And I remember I'd just about be ready to cry out, and then sometimes from across the crowd, I'd see her face. But I remember this one particular time I couldn't find her at the fair because I had wandered off, and I remember I heard her laugh. My mother had a very unique laugh. And it was like when I heard my mother laugh, I couldn't see her. I just heard her in the crowd. And just the fact that I heard my mother, all my fear and all my anxiety and all my worry, it melted away because I knew my mom was close to me. Maybe if even I didn't know where she was, she knew where I was. And just the fact that I heard her voice, it comforted me. And I wasn't on the edge of tears anymore because I knew she was near and I knew she would take care of me. I think about that story when I come to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is a psalm we're going to spend the next 6 weeks in. Now you're going to say, whoa, it's only six verses. This is a very short chapter to spend 6 weeks in. But let me tell you the goal of why I want to do it. I want to encourage you. We live in a day and time in our crazy, just going 90 to nothing world where we need encouragement. And it's something we don't get often enough. We don't get encouragement as much as we need. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to encourage each other in the Lord. There's a story about a great commentator named Warren Wiersbe. He was from England, and we go to his commentary all the time to look up stuff about the Bible. Warren Wiersbe is a famous commentator. And near the end of his life, somebody came to Warren Wiersbe and asked him, if you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give him? And Warren Wiersbe looked at this man, and it was a crowd of people. There are many people listening to his answer. And Warren Wiersbe said, I would go back and I would tell my younger self to be more of an encourager. And that surprised everybody. Why? Because Warren Wiersbe was already an encourager. He was the most encouraging person that people knew, but yet he wanted to go back and tell his younger self to encourage people even more than he already had. That's what this psalm is about. It's about encouraging us. This psalm is about what God does for his people. Make no mistake about it. It may be in the book of Psalms. It may be in the Old Testament. But this psalm is about Jesus Christ. This psalm is about the Lord Jesus Christ. This psalm is what happens when you belong to Jesus Christ. Now, many of us, we know Psalm 23 by heart. For those of us that memorize chapters of the Bible, it's probably the first chapter that we ever memorized was Psalm 23. And listen, I memorized it in King James English. So guess what we're going to read Psalm 23 in the next 6 weeks? It's going to be the King James. Now everything else is going to be New American. But when it comes to Psalm 23, I can't quote Psalm 23 without it being a King James 1611 authorized version. Amen. And so listen, this is a very comforting psalm too. I mean, this is the psalm you read at a funeral. This is this particular, and I picked this up from my mentor years ago. And the reason why, when I go to a graveside, the reason why I read Psalm 23 is because that's the way my mentor did it. And it's just a comforting, it's a comforting psalm. Why? Because all of us, one day, will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's something that we all share. That's something that we all will have in common. You know, when I was young, I would sit down at the table, and I'd just scarf. I know you can't tell this, but I would just scarf my food. Just eat so fast. And my dad would say, and I never understood this, slow down, you're not even tasting it. I never got what he meant by that, but he was right. You know, every once in a while, we read through this psalm or we quote it, and we read it so fast that really it's not as effective as it should be. And we come to this psalm, what I want to do is I want to slow down and I want to methodically work our way through each word and methodically work our way through each phrase. I want to savor the flavor of what this psalm is trying to tell us. Sometimes I'm afraid that we're so familiar with this psalm that it loses its power. You know, they say familiarity breeds contempt. We're so familiar with it that if we don't slow down, if we don't meditate it, if we don't chew on it, if we don't contemplate on it, it will lose its significance. Because if what Psalm 23 is telling us, if it's true, if the Lord really is our shepherd, changes everything. Changes absolutely everything about your life. Changes the way you live your life. Here's my first point. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David could have said a lot of things here. He could have said, the Lord is my king. Could have said, the Lord is my rock. Could have said, the Lord is my shield. But he said, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, in ancient Israel, being a shepherd was one of the hardest jobs you could have. It was long hours. It was constant work. There was no clocking in and clocking out. You ate, lived, slept with the sheep. You know, everything you need to know about what a shepherd does in the Old Testament can be found in this chapter. It can be found in this psalm. In verse 1, he owns the sheep. In verse 2, he leads the sheep. Verse 3, he restores the sheep. Verse 4, he protects the sheep. Verse 5, he feeds the sheep. In verse 6, he loves the sheep. The sheep are completely dependent upon the shepherd. The sheep, they cannot find food on their own. They get lost easily. They're vulnerable to predators. Sheep even get tipped over and can't get up unless somebody helps them. Really, the closest approximation in the animal kingdom that there exists to human nature is a sheep. Now, David wrote this psalm because David knew what it was like to be a shepherd. David started out his early life as a shepherd. And when you're a shepherd, you have to fight off predators. You have to fight off animals. And so he became proficient in using a sling. And yes, this is the same sling that he used to take down Goliath. And the reason why he was able to do that is because he got proficient at it being a shepherd. But not only did David have to be proficient at using a sling, he also had to be proficient at hand-to-hand combat. Because the Bible records that he fought a lion and a bear to protect his flock. 1 Samuel 17:34 and 35, but David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. When he arose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. I mean, so David's out there with his bare hands protecting and defending the sheep, because that's what Jesus Christ is to me. Jesus Christ is my shepherd. He's the one who owns me. He's the one who leads and restores and protects and feeds and loves the sheep. Listen, David had many enemies that hunted him. David had a son that hated him. David lived under the constant stress of managing a divided nation. You read the Psalms. David knew what it was like to live in fear. David knew what it was like to be discouraged. David knew what it was like to be disheartened. He knew what it was like to be exhausted. So listen to me. When you find yourself under tremendous pressure in your life, this psalm is for you. When you find yourself losing heart and you find yourself getting depressed and you find yourself getting discouraged, this psalm is for you. When you face enemies in your life, when there are people in your life that are actively looking to destroy you, when you stare into the face of evil itself, this psalm is for you. And since one day you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this psalm is for you. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Which brings us to our next point. The Lord is my shepherd. Did you know that the quality of life enjoyed by any flock depends on who its shepherd is? Let me read that again. The quality of life enjoyed by any flock depends entirely on who the shepherd is. In the Old Testament, God had picked prophets and priests and kings to shepherd the people of Israel, to guide the people of Israel. And suffice to say, they did not do a good job. In fact, Ezekiel 34 is like a job evaluation. Now, sometimes on your job, they'll give you an evaluation on how you did on your job, and maybe your raise depends on that, your PTO depends on that, on how your evaluation did. So in Ezekiel chapter 34, God gives an evaluation of the shepherds of Israel, and it was not a good evaluation. Let's read it. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was none to search or seek for them." He looked at them and said, "Look, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the stray you have not bought back, the lost you have not found. You've been dealing with them with force and harshness. You've ruled them." See, the quality of life of the flock depends on who their shepherd is. And these shepherds had failed to take care of the sheep. There was no one looking for the lost. There was no one caring for the sick or the injured. No one cared for the weak. So what happened? God looked on the earth and he saw all his sheep scattered all over the face of the earth. And there was no one to look for them. And there was no one to search for them. And there was no one to seek for them. And God looked on the lostness of the sheep until he couldn't take it anymore. And finally God said, "Fine, I will go and be their shepherd." That's what he said in verse 11. "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out." Verse 16, "I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick." God said, "What others have failed to do, I will do." And when Jesus came, what did he say? He said, "I am the good shepherd. I came to seek and save that which was lost. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I lay down my life for my sheep, and my sheep shall never perish." This psalm is about the Lord being our shepherd. He is taking direct responsibility for his people. He's being hands-on with us. Isn't it a wonderful thing to say the Lord is your shepherd? That he's the one who's responsible for your care. That I am his forever. He's the one who makes me rest in green pastures. He's the one who leads me beside the still waters. He's the one who restores my soul. He's going to lead me in the paths of righteousness. It's his rod and his staff which comforts me. He's the one who prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He's the one who will anoint my head with oil, and I will dwell in his house, the house of the Lord, forever. Your entire experience of life will depend on who your shepherd is. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. So therefore, I am blessed forever because he owns me. He leads me. He restores me. He protects me. He feeds me. And he will love me forever. The greatest joy in your life will be knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd. Number three, the Lord is my shepherd. When you think about the picture that David is painting here, and you see a flock of sheep, there's only two ways the sheep become a part of the flock. There's only two ways they're added to the flock. The shepherd can either A, buy the sheep and add them to the flock, or B, the sheep can be born into the flock. Every sheep you see in a flock, that's true. One of those is true about every one of those sheep. They're either bought into the flock or they're born into the flock. But when it comes to the flock of God, both of those things are true about every one of us. We are all both bought and born into God's flock. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That word ransomed or redeemed, it simply means to buy. It means to purchase. You are purchased with the precious blood of Christ. He became the Lamb and paid the price for you. Christian, he owns you. He paid the price for you. I remember growing up, my papa would take me to the sale barn in Fernwood, Mississippi. Now, that sale barn's not there anymore. Now it's a Love's truck stop. But it used to be a sale barn. And I remember going into that sale barn and walking down them back stalls with my papa, and he'd be looking at all the calves and looking at the cows. And it was amazing to me. My papa he was so sharp, he didn't write down a single thing. He just saw it and he recognized it when it come out of the sale barn. He went up and down and he looked at all the sheep and all the calf and all the cattle, and he knew which one he wanted. And he came back in that room. The auctioneer started. I can't do auctioneer. I can't even pretend to do that. The auctioneer started, and when the calves would come in that my papa wanted, he recognized them because he had looked at them. And very few times did my papa not get what he bid after. He wanted something. He went out and got it. I'll never forget that time of going to the sale barn with my papa. See, here's the thing. If you are purchased, you are specifically chosen by the buyer. Think about this. Jesus chose you. He paid the price by laying down his life for you. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. The Lord is your shepherd, and that's why you shall not want. Because if the Lord is your shepherd, then he will provide for you. He laid down his life for you. He will give you what you need. But not only have you been bought into the flock, you've also been born into the flock. A few verses later in 1 Peter, he said, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God." So not only has the blood purchased you, But His Spirit has moved over your dead spirit. Like the Spirit of God moved over the water, the void, the waters in creation and brought them to life. The Spirit of God has went over your dead spirit and quickened your spirit and brought your spirit alive. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. You didn't have a desire for the things of God, for He breathed life into you. You didn't have a desire. You had a desire after sin. Now you have a desire to chase after the kingdom of God. He gave you a calling to follow after Jesus Christ. Not only did He bring new life into you, He sustains that life. Despite all your fears and all your failures and all your anxieties and all your sins that you still commit, you still love Jesus. The Lord is still your shepherd. He bought you. He birthed you. The shepherd will walk with you all the days of your life. You want to know why? Because you're the center of His attention. You are the center of His world. You can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. His rod and staff comfort me. He prepares a table for me. He anoints my head with oil. His goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm is for believers. Everything in this song flows out of a relationship with the shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. This psalm belongs to those who have been bought and born into the flock of God. If you're not part of that flock and you want these things can become yours. But first, you must become His. The relationship between a shepherd and the sheep, it's defined by ownership. The shepherd cares for the flock because he owns the flock. That's why he cares for it. He bought them. He bred them. John 10:11-12, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them." See, the reason why he lays down his life for the sheep is because he owns it. The hired hand's not going to do that. The hired hand's going to see the wolf and run the other direction. But the shepherd will throw his own body between the predator and the sheep to protect the sheep because he owns the sheep. Now, right now, that brings up a question. Do you want to be wholly owned by the shepherd? When I say the words, "someone owns you," something in your flesh that doesn't like that. "I don't like that. I don't like that wording. Don't tell me that anybody else owns me. I'm not owned by anybody." There's something in our flesh that kicks against that. There's something in our flesh that rebels against that fact. You want to know why? Because we want to be our own masters. We want to be our own shepherd. We want to be our own God. What did Satan say to Eve in the garden? "You shall be as God." Something in our flesh that thinks, "My life will be so much better if I am in the place of God." Shirley MacLaine, known for her New Age spiritualism and New Age mysticism, once said this, and this is a direct quote. "I know that I exist, therefore I am. I know the God source exists, therefore it is. Since I am part of that force, I am that I am," proclaiming herself to be God. We should hear those words from Shirley, and we should feel sorry for her. Because when you are your own God, you're completely alone. You have no one to look to beyond yourself. Nothing is more tragic than a sheep without a shepherd. Sheep can't survive on their own. Deer and rabbits, they don't need someone to watch after them. They don't need to be farmed. But sheep aren't like other animals. Sheep have to be fed. Left to themselves, they'll starve. Jesus looked on the crowds on his day and he had compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Without a shepherd, sheep will wander off. Their hooves will rot. Their wool will get so big without shearing that it'll weigh them down in the summer. Wolves will come and destroy them. A sheep without a shepherd would be a disaster. But for sinners, it would be worse. You see, the worst thing that can happen to a sheep without a shepherd is it dies. But sinners who choose to be their own God, it's much worse. Their destiny is a dark hell where they will be alone forever. But David's not alone. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He owns me. His goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And when I die, I will not go into outer darkness, but my shepherd will welcome me home, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a blessing it is to be wholly owned by the shepherd. Do you see what a blessing it is to know that Jesus owns you? To know that you are His in life, in death. To know that you've been bought and born into His flock. To know that He owns you. He will lead you. He will restore you. He will protect you. He will feed you. He will love you forever and ever, all your life, even in your darkest valley. You have a glorious future and an eternal home because He owns you. Number four, I shall not want. I want you to think about this for a moment. David's carrying a lot of weight on his shoulder. David grew up as a shepherd, but his calling on his life was to be something more. What was he called to do? He was called to be a king. But when he became a king, what was the wording that they chose for his job description? As a king, he would shepherd his people. Let's read that, 2 Samuel chapter 5. "Then all the tribes of Israel came to David to Hebron and said, 'Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. Previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and in. And the Lord said to you, "You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be ruler over Israel."'" He's called a shepherd of the people of God. You know, and that had to be on his mind while he's writing this psalm. How can he do that? How can David protect his people? How can he feed them? How can he go on loving them? David, how in the world are you all by yourself going to shepherd the flock of God? Here's his answer. "The Lord is my shepherd. What God has called me to do for others, He will do for me." I want you to think about that in your own life. God has placed responsibilities in your life. How are you going to handle these responsibilities? You're caring for children. Some of you are caring for parents. You've been trusted at your job. The decisions you make in your life affect other people. Other people look for you for wisdom. They look to you for encouragement. They look to you for strength. They look to you for leadership. You are a shepherd. Now, how in the world are you going to fulfill your calling? Here's the answer. You can shepherd others because the Lord will shepherd you. You're going to be able to restore and refresh others because the Lord will restore and refresh you. You're going to be able to provide for others because the Lord will provide for you. You're going to be able to love others because the Lord will never, ever, ever, ever stop loving you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you know what? That statement, that's the core of what faith is. That's the core of what faith is. I mean, if I am under His care, If he bought me and he birthed me, the inevitable conclusion is that he will provide everything that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Maybe one day you're going to face some really hard decisions. And you're not going to know which way to turn. The Lord is your shepherd. He'll lead you down the right path. Maybe one day you're going to have some health problems. Maybe one day you're going to face just sheer exhaustion. You're going to face severe burnout. You're going to have no strength left. But the Lord is your shepherd. He'll restore your soul. Maybe one day you're going to have enemies. Enemies that seek to destroy your life. But if the Lord is your shepherd, he'll protect you. And when you face the dark valley of death, the Lord himself will walk with you through that valley. And on the other side, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is a wonderful thing to be wholly owned by the Son of God. Because when the Lord is your shepherd, you have all that you need. The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You are owned by the shepherd. That defines your relationship. He bought you into the flock of God. He's born you into the flock of God. You need to lean on that relationship. You need to lean into that dynamic. You need to take that statement, the Lord is my shepherd, and if he is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have faith that everything that I need, Jesus will provide for me, because I am his sheep and he is my shepherd. Today, proclaim that truth to God. Meditate on that. Spend some time in the invitation and pour your heart out to God. Say, Lord, I put my faith in that relationship of sheep and shepherd. I know that what I need, you will provide for me. But maybe you're in here today and you hear about that kind of relationship that the sheep and the shepherd have, and you don't know that type of relationship. Because there's never come a time in your life when you wholly put your faith in Jesus Christ. If that's you today, get that settled before you leave today. If you don't know that you have a relationship with Jesus, if you don't know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, get that settled. Come down to this altar and get my attention. And we'll show you how you can have that type of relationship with the Lord. We'll show you how you can have eternal security. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, what a glorious thing it is to be owned by the Son of God. Spend some time with the Lord this morning on our invitation. I'm going to pray, and then our invitation will begin. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this song. Thank you for this relationship dynamic. That, Lord, the reason why you lay down your life for us, the reason why you throw yourself in danger, the reason why you provide for our needs is because, as the shepherd, you own us. And Lord, there's no one else I'd rather be owned by. Help us to lean into that relationship this morning. Be with our invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.